Gura graganya gana gocha guloru haram. Gauranga gura tamago pyara kopa briksham. Gopala gara rati dam yati singha gora. Govinda deshikavaram satatam namami. Guruve Gurachandraya Radhikayai Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Pancha Kopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vrindavanam Kaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Purna Brahmata Patraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha Handaya Madhurabala Haridasavaryo Yad Rama Krishna Charanaspadasa Pramoda Manam tanoti sahagogena yustayo yad paniyasuya vasakandara kandamulai Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'd like to offer my respects to all the devotees here, and especially His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj, who likes monkeys, so he asked me to come sometimes to this program. Please forgive us for our impudence. The word drista, which we'll speak about today, means great impudence. Indra was very impudent. And I'm also very impudent. I'm trying to get into the mood of the katha. Speaking in front of Sachinandan Maharaj and so many Vaishnavas. So, dear devotees, please forgive me. It's not an easy thing to speak, especially about Giriraj Govardhan. In such an assembly of devotees who come every year and who have so much love for Giriraj and whose realizations about Giriraj are in themselves great mountains compared to my tiny little grain of sand. So please forgive me for that. And please bless me that we can try to do something for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So we'd like to explore this Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam. These 10 verses, 11 verses with the Falastuti, or the verse describing the benefits of reciting it, written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. As I mentioned last night, these were not written as a preaching technique, or even to establish some siddhanta. Rather, these are spontaneous outpourings from the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. You may say, well, that sounds rather high. I don't know if that's for me. But it's important for us to try to understand the heart of a devotee and the mood of a devotee. And we'd like to approach these prayers and try to understand them in a way that's also appropriate for us, that's relevant for us. So this is his prarthana. Prarthana means a humble request. It means an outpouring of the heart in the form of this malini meter we mentioned last night. Malini means refers to a young girl with a garland. So this is a garland of verses that this young girl, whose name actually is Tulsi Manjari, and his Sadak Deha, or external form, is Raghunath Das Goswami, is offering to Giriraj Govardhan. So we'd like to analyze it, beginning as we start. What is his purpose in writing this? And what are his goals? Our acharyas have described that we should understand things in terms of sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. Srila Prabhupada describes this in many places. In his purport, in the 10th canto, chapter 8, text 45, Prabhupada wrote, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that there are three purposes in the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, Sambandha. Another is to act according to that relationship, Abhideya. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, Prayojan. The word Prayojan means necessities. And the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Pumartha Mohan. The greatest necessity for a human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees very much to understand these three basic principles, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. And our acharyas have taught that we can see all the Vedic literatures in terms of these three things. We can also try to examine the writings of our acharyas in terms of these three things, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. So what is the Sambandha or the relationship spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This is given in the 10th verse of this stotra, which Sachinanda Maharaj mentioned yesterday. Very nice verse. Nirupadi karunena Sri Sachinandanena Twahi kapati sitopi twatpriyanar pito smiti kalumama yogya yogyatam mamagrina nija nikata nibasam dehi govardhana tvam. He says that nirupadi karunena Sri Sachinandanena. He says Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sachinandan, gave me to you, Giriraj. Sachinandan Maharaj gave us this Govardhan retreat. Sachinandan Maharaj ki? Nirupadi karunena. And he describes the karuna, or the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is nirupadika karuna. It has no upadis. I don't care if you voted for Mr. Trump, or if you voted for Hillary Clinton. We don't care if you're conservative in ISKCON, if you're a liberal in ISKCON. Giriraj has mercy for everyone. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is like that also. He doesn't consider Uttama Adama Kichuna Bachila Jachi Adile Kakol. The poet Premananda Das sings, he doesn't consider who's elevated and who's fallen. But he just gives mercy to everyone. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, I also got some of that mercy. Nirupadi karunena, Sri Sachinandanena, Twai. Twai means that he gave me to you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave me to you, Giriraj. Not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami. He's not saying that. He's saying, rather, Mahaprabhu gave me to you, Giriraj. Because you're the owner, you're the possessor. So this is my relationship with you. My relationship with you is through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, in our case, our relationship with Giriraj is through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Srila Prabhupada, through our acharyas, through our Gurudev. And we can't try to approach in any other way. So Raghunath Das Goswami, this is his sambandha. This is his connection with Giriraj Govardhan. And very nice verse. We could go on to describing this at length, but it's another subject now. We're going to try to speak something about the first verse today. But this is a little overview. So then what is the Abhideya? What is the process by which he's going to do that? So this first verse of his Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam gives some hint. In the very first two words, he emphatically describes Nija Pati Bhuja Dandach Chatram Bhavam Prapadya Pratihata Madhajisto Danda Devinda Garba Tula Pritula Shaila Shaini Bhupa Priyame Nija nikata nivasam dehi gobhardhanatvam. Nija pati. He's not addressing Giriraj as Krishna. The very first two words establish, I'm going to speak about Giriraj Govardhan as a devotee. Nija pati bhuja dandach. That, my dear Giriraj, your nija means your, nija pati, your lord, your pati, his bhuja dandach, his arm became a danda or a handle for the umbrella-like Giriraj Govardhan. So immediately he establishes that Giriraj, you're a devotee of Krishna. And this is the Abhideya, I would suggest, that Raghunath Das Goswami is giving us very clearly, actually. This is his process of worship of Giriraj Govardhan. Now, some questions may come by this. Why is he doing like this? Well, he's doing like this because, as we cited earlier, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, it describes that Giriraj Govardhan is Haridasa Varyo, or the best of devotees. Also in the 8th verse of the same Ashtakam, Raghunath Das describes, Giri Nripa Haridasa Sreni Varyeti Nama, that, my dear Giriraj, you're the king of mountains, and Haridasa Sreni Varyeti Nama, that you have this name, Haridas, Haridasa Varyo. And where does that name come from? Mitamidamuditam Sri Radhika Vakta Chandrat, from the moon-like mouth of Srimati Radharani, this was spoken, that Giriraj is the best of devotees. Now, for someone who's a little astute and well-read in Srila Prabhupada's books, which he wanted us to be, you may have a doubt at this point. You may say, well, Raghunath Das Goswami seems like a very respectable person, but why is it that he's speaking about worshiping Giriraj as a devotee? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gave him that Govardhan Srila, and he said, you worship him with Tulsi Manjaris. In other words, you worship him as Krishna. It seems like Raghunath Das Goswami perhaps disobeyed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should be very careful. We need to consider things in a very careful way. There's two types of considerations. There's an external consideration and there's an internal consideration. We want to understand what is the internal consideration and not just the aparavichara or apparent consideration. We want to know what is the tattvavichara, the absolute consideration. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 74, it stated, bhavo hi bhava karanam, that the mood of devotee has will result in their particular type of worship. This gives us some clue why Raghunath Das Goswami is worshiping Giriraj as a devotee, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that he's Krishna. In the conversation in Majjalila chapter 8 with Roy Ramananda, it's described, Stavara Jangama Deke, Na Deke Taramurti, Sarvatra Hoya Nisha Ishta Deva Spurti, that the nature of a great personality then is that they see the Lord everywhere. And this is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's in the mood of Radharani. And Stavara Jangama Deki, whether it's moving or non-moving, Nadeki Tara Murti, he sees the form of his Lord. Sarvatra Hoy Nija Ishta Deva Spurti, he sees that form of his Lord manifested everywhere. Raghunath Das Goswami has a little different mood than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we spoke last night, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said that if someone is doing worship of the Lord, but they're doing it with two faults, without considering their qualification, and not according to their qualification, and they're doing it in an imitative kind of way, then it's just karmakanda. It's just some external rituals that are going on. And he says it's not bhakti. It may be something which leads us to bhakti, and sometimes our acharyas also call it bhakti. We should encourage everyone to engage in devotional activities, even if they're doing it on an external platform. But we should understand that science is not actually bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada spoke sometimes about this in one conversation. Somebody asked Prabhupada about some disciple who'd fallen down and gone away. And Prabhupada said, he's not the disciple. Prabhupada spoke in a very heavy way. He said, if he's a disciple, then it means this thing's not going to happen. So I remember reading that and thinking, oh gosh, I can understand my position then. I'm not a disciple, but I'm an aspiring disciple. Prabhupada also spoke very strongly, what is really bhakti? And if we don't understand what bhakti really is, if we think just some external things or some karmakanda activities are bhakti, then when we don't get the proper results, we may become discouraged and stop practicing those activities and go away. And we see this happens quite often. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his book, Bhakti Tattva Vivek, he says it's very important to understand what is Chaya Bhakti, what is Bhakti Abhas, what is the shadow of bhakti, and what is real bhakti. Otherwise, we may become discouraged like this. So, Raghunath Das Goswami, his mood is slightly different. Whereas Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees Krishna everywhere, Raghunath Das Goswami, he wants to serve not Krishna, but his mistress, Srimati Radharani. That's the particular mood of Raghunath Das Goswami. And therefore, he's worshipping Giriraj as a devotee. It's interesting to note that in their prayers to Giriraj Govardhan, Raghunath Das Goswami's written two, Rupa Goswami's written one, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's written one, none of them speak about Giriraj Govardhan as Krishna. But they only speak about him as a devotee. In fact, in the beginning of his prayers, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is very strong about it. He says, Vina. Vina means without. Vina bhavet kim haridasa varyo. Unless you worship Giriraj as a devotee. Vina bhavet kim haridasa varyo. Padashrayam bhaktir atashrayami. You can't get the bhakti that Giriraj has. This is the goal of our Goswamis. They want that bhav that Giriraj has for Krishna. They're worshiping him as a devotee. And unless we worship him as a devotee, we can't get that particular mood. It's a very big subject. We're working on a magazine. I've been working on it for 6 or 7 years now about Govardhan Hill. And we're coming closer. I'm hoping to have it ready within a month. And there's a long article, long discussion in there about the position of Giriraj Govardhan. To cut to the quick, we can say that Giriraj, I'll say something which would take a long time to explain properly, but Giriraj is Krishna's personified love for Radharani. It's manifested as a great mountain. So Giriraj, his ontological position is Vishnu Tattva. He's the Lord. He's Bhagavan. But Giriraj, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Nityananda Prabhu or Dwaita Prabhu or Lakshman, he's in the mood of a devotee. And just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sometimes worshipped as Krishna, but Srila Prabhupada in Adi Lila Chapter 4 and some of our acharyas in different places have described that you may worship him as Krishna, but if you worship him as a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives more. Because it's in the mood of a devotee that he's no Mahavadanyaya. He's in the mood of Radharani. But if you say, no, you're not actually Radharani, you're Krishna, then he's not Mahavadanyaya avatar anymore. He doesn't give the same kind of mercy that he's giving otherwise. Similarly, Giriraj can be worshipped as Haridev, and we see just near Manasi Ganga that there's an ancient deity there of Krishna, who's known as Haridev. He's holding up Govardhan Hill, and he's none different from Govardhan. Giriraj is Krishna, and you can worship him like that, and he'll give you something very wonderful. He'll give you Brajbas, residence in Vrindavan. But if you worship him as Haridas, as a devotee, our acharyas are describing, Vina bhavet kim haridasa varyo padashrayam bhakti ratashrayami yameva swaprema. Swaprema means your prema, the prema that Giriraj has. I can't get that unless I worship him as a devotee. It's a very, very esoteric thing. And it's very important for us to contemplate on this too, very relevant for us. These prayers, I feel like these are for all the members of ISKCON for two reasons. One, because in Jagannath Puri Dham, just near the temple of Tota Gopinath, there's a place called Chatak Parvat. And I think it was in 1934, the King of Ali donated that property to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And he built the Purushottam Mutt, the only Gaudiya Mutt temple he built in Jagannath Puri. And that Chatak Parvat, you may know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu saw as Govardhan Hill. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had a bhajan kutir there on top of the hill. Although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta left this world in Kolkata at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Mutt temple, he was only there for a very few days. Prior to that, he manifested some pastime of being sick in Purushottam Ketra Jagannath Puri. And he was staying there at Chatak Parvat. And every day he was having the devotees recite these prayers. This Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam to him. He was very much relishing them. And this, we can say confidently, was his desire before he left this world. He wanted residence at Govardhan Hill, which is the prayojan. We spoke about the sambandha of these verses, the abhideya of these verses. And now what is the prayojan? Speaking of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, it brings us to that. Raghunath Das Goswami, who's our prayojan acharya, can't control himself. And immediately he goes right to the topic, what I want. And again and again and again, 10 times in this verse, he said, in these prayers, he says the same thing. Nija nikata nivasam dehi gobardhanat tvam. That, O Giriraj, I want residence near you. That's the goal of my heart. In the second verse, we'll speak more about later, he explains a little more clearly why it is that he wants to do that. Pramada madana lila kandare kandare te rachayati navayunor dvanvam asmim amandam itikila kalanartam lagna kasta dvayorme nija nikata nivasam dehi gobardhanatvam. He says, my dear Giriraj, this is what I want from you. Kalanartam lagna kasta dvayorami. I want to be able to see. Kalana means to see. Kalanartam, artam is a purpose. The purpose, the reason I want to be close to you is because I want to see all these pramana madana lila, all these very astonishing pastimes. Kandare, kandare te, which go on in all the caves in Govardhan Hill. I want to see that. And he doesn't just want to see that. He wants to see that because he wants to render service. Being near Giriraj indicates that I want to render service. And so this is the prayojan. This is the ultimate desire of Raghunath Das Goswami. And this is the ultimate desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, expressed at the end of his days. And this is the ultimate desire of our Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder acharya of our movement, just before he left this world. He also requested the devotees, his last request was, you please take me to Govardhan Hill, and I want to go on parikrama around Giriraj. I want to be near Giriraj. Nija nikata nivasam dehi govardhanat tvam. So just as we'd mentioned this word guha last night. Guha means a cave. And Raghunath Das Goswami is speaking about the caves of Govardhan. Kandare, kandare, kandara means a cave. We're writing an article. We have photographs of 7 different caves at Govardhan Hill. Kind person, local person, went on top of the hill and took photos for us. And there's stories about these caves also coming up in our magazine. These caves of Govardhan are very, very important. And as I mentioned last night, the word guha doesn't just mean cave, but it also means something secret. These caves on Govardhan Hill are very confidential. And guha also means a heart. So these prayers, which speak about the caves of Govardhan, are also revealing the secret heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he's speaking in a clever way that external persons may not see. Just as if you go to a cave, when you enter into the cave, the first thing that you do, you see the outside of the cave. That's part of the cave, but that's not the main part. The main part is the inside. That's the guha part. That's the secret part. So in a similar way, revealing the cave of his heart, Raghunath Das Goswami first starts with the entrance way, the outside part in this verse. And he describes it, Nijapati Bhuja Dandach Chattambhavam Prapadya. He describes, as I said, that Nijapati, Giriraj, you're a devotee of Krishna. And he uses the word Dandach. Dandach here means a handle, that Krishna's hand, his arm, his bhuja, became a handle for the chatra. Chatra is an important word. Chatra is a word in Bengali, and it's also a word in Sanskrit. Chatra, it said that chatravat gurun rakshayati iti chatra. The word chatra means umbrella. My grandma has personally told me, though, too, that chatra also is a synonym for sishya, for disciple. And this verse describes, chatravat gurun rakshayati iti chatra. This is a definition of the word chatra. One who protects and covers the faults of Gurudev like an umbrella is known as a chatra. So in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami is further establishing that Giriraj, he's like a devotee. He's a devotee of Krishna, but he's also nourishing his very name. Govardhana means that personality who, Vardhana, nourishes the cows. But the word go means many things. The word go means the gwalas, or the cowherd people of Braj. The word go means the gopis. The word go means the senses. And Giriraj Govardhan, he protects the senses of the devotees. He protects the gopis. He protects the cowherd people. He protects the cows of Braj. He's like an umbrella. He's like a chatra. Bhavam prapadya. In this way, he says, Pratihata madadristo dindagarva. We had I was just recently going through a Sanskrit commentary on these prayers, which is written by Baladev Vidyabhushan, very rare set of prayers. And he says some very interesting things. He says that the word pratihata means to completely destroy. Pratihata, Giriraj Govardhan, is completely destroyed what? And then Raghunath Das Goswami, he uses four words which are synonyms of each other. Now, in Sanskrit, you may consider that to be some fault, that he doesn't have enough vocabulary, perhaps you might think. Why is he using the same word over and over again? Don't think like that. There's a deep purport to it. What is Giriraj Pratihata? What is he checking? Pratihata mada dristo denda garva. Garva means pride, the pride of Indra. And he describes that pride in three different ways. Mada, drista, and udanda. Each word has great purport to it. The word mada means arrogant. The word mada means also intoxication. And this intoxication comes by having some position, some pride which arises from one's position. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about this on a number of occasions. I'll read you something very strong that he spoke once. He said, so Vidura was Yamaraj. Not only he was Yamaraj, but he's one of the 12 great authorities mentioned in the Shastra. One of them is Yamaraj. This is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamaraj is one of the GBCs of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, as we've got 12 GBCs, similarly Krishna has his GBCs. Swayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Palado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasakir Vayam. Prabhupada quotes this verse then from 6th Canto Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada continued, 12 men are authorized to preach Krishna consciousness, so we have to follow them. Mahajina Yena Gita Sapanta. Therefore, we've created these GBC, so they should be very responsible men. Otherwise, they will be punished. They will be punished to become sudras. Although Yamaraj is a GBC, he made a little mistake, so he was punished to become a sudra. So those who are GBCs, they should be very, very careful to administer the business of ISKCON. Otherwise, they will be punished. As the post is very great, similarly, the punishment is also very great. Now you may say, well, I definitely don't want to become a GBC member then. But it's not just GBC members. Srila Prabhupada is speaking about a philosophical point that if you accept some responsibility in a position and the respect that goes along with that, and perhaps the worship and the perks that go along with that thing, along with it comes some responsibility. Prabhupada spoke in another room conversation in Los Angeles, and he said, if we do not understand the responsibility, just like in an establishment, one man is promoted, he's first charged as being doorkeeper. When he first joins, he's a doorkeeper, very menial position. Then gradually he's given promotion, and he may come to the post of the manager. Just like in the bank, it happens. They must go through all the different stages of service. So when he becomes a manager, if he does not understand the responsibility, then again, he falls to the lowest position. Again, he has to strive for the top. So if we forget our responsibility and become like cats and dogs, then we're going to come back again to take the form of cats and dogs. So along with some position comes great responsibility. And Indra had so much position. In this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami says, Dev Indra. Indra means king in a general way. He's Dev Indra. He's the king of the demigods. And as we mentioned last night, don't think he's just some small-time personality. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that Eti Chamsa Kala Pumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. How many of you know this verse? Raise your hand. Very important verse. Jiva Goswami says this is the single most important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Eti chamsa kala pumsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. But what's the next line say? Indrari vyakulam lokam midayanti yuge yuge. The first line describes that Eti chamsa kala pumsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Of all the different manifestations of the Lord mentioned in the first canto Bhagavatam, Krishna is the source of all of them. He's Swayam Bhagavan. And why does he come? Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Ridayanti Yuge Yuge. Again and again, he comes to help Indra. As I like to say in Jagannath Puri Dham, God always supports organized religion. Whether you like it or not, it's a very important thing. We need organized religion. And even if sometimes, as in Jagannath Puri, the managers may make some mistake and they tell the foreign devotees, hey, Bideshi Prabeshni Shed, a foreigner is not allowed inside the temple. Prabhupada said it was a great offense. Even though they make that mistake, Srila Prabhupada said, but Jagannath is still there, he's still there, and they're worshiping him. Jagannath is supporting them in some ways. So God supports the managers, and we should support the managers, even if they make some mistake. So Indra has a very important duty. He's not just the Lord of the demigods, but he's in charge of maintaining religious principles. He's kind of like the Supreme GBC, the Supreme Temple President in the universe. And just as sometimes Prabhupada was describing, our GBC members or our leaders may make some mistake. Indra sometimes also makes some mistake. This mistake comes from pride. Pride is a very, very difficult thing to deal with. And he describes, Raghunath Das Goswami describes here, three aspects of the pride of Indra. The first, he says, is mada. And the word mada means arrogance. A mada also means lust. And mada also means intoxication. It has several different meanings in Sanskrit. Indra, Dev Indra Garbha, he gets this garbha, this pride, that I'm the Indra of the devas. I'm in charge. I'm the king of all the demigods. Don't you know who I am? You should give respect for me. And he becomes very lusty. This is what happens if you become a big person. Then what are you going to do with your position? You have to impress a young woman. You have to impress someone of the opposite sex so that you can really enjoy your position. And you become intoxicated, mada, from that position. Mada means pride, but mada more specifically indicates arrogance. It indicates intoxication. It indicates lust due to some big position. And then he says that another quality of the pride of Indra is that he's drishta. Drishta means bold. He's a very, very bold person. When you become proud, this is what happens. You become very, very bold. And maybe even you'll challenge some senior person. Sometimes we see a senior devotee, a sannyasi, or someone giving class, and someone will raise their hand, Maharaj, you said this, but it's not correct. Or they'll try to chastise that sannyasi. Facebook is very good for that. Or the internet. Because that person is drishta. He's a very, very bold person because he's proud. He thinks he knows better than that senior devotee. We should be very, very careful. I give this analogy sometimes. Maybe some of you have heard me say it. I like it very much. Please forgive me. But what if I told you that I knew about a leader, a manager in ISKCON, who was taking money from the hundi, from the deity box? Anybody here would be able to give respect to such a person? I don't see any hands. Okay. And then what if I told you not only was he doing that, but he was having an illicit relation with some other devotee's wife? Very bad. Could you give respect to them? And if I told you not just one man's wife, but actually six or eight different women, he's having. And if I told you not just that, but sometimes he gets really angry and he beats devotees, could you give him respect? And if I told you not just that, but sometimes he kills cows, and sometimes he breaks temples and deities, and sometimes he kills devotees, could you give him respect? Now, what if I told you that person was actually an eternal servant of the Lord, and all those activities were part of their service, and their names were Jaya Vijay, is Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha? And therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in Gita Mala, in one song, he sings that the demons are doing lila pushti kari. They're lila pushti. They're nourishing the pastimes of the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to them. He worships them. There's a purport, I think, in First Canto Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada says a similar thing about Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. He said they're devotees, and we should respect them. But we don't imitate them. We hate, as it says in the Bible, the sin, but not the sinner. So an implicit point given here then is that we're not the seer. We can't judge who this person is. But if you decide that I'm the seer of other persons, then your pride rises up and you develop this bad quality of drishta. You become very, very bold. And you decide, yes, I can reform everybody. I know the best thing because I'm the seer, because I'm such a great person. One devotee once came to me, a very senior devotee, and he started speaking in a way that really hurt my heart. And he was saying, there's no bona fide sannyasis in ISKCON. He said, they're all bogus. He said, none of them chant 16 rounds. He said, I know. He said, I used to be a sannyasi, and I never chanted 16 rounds. He spoke like that. I felt very bad. He's a very senior person. I'm very impudent. I'm drishta. So I spoke up. I couldn't tolerate. And I said, well, please forgive me, but I know at least one person who's qualified. And he said, yeah, who? And I said, you. And he took two steps back like I was going to do some judo or something, you know. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, if you can see that there's no qualified persons, then you must be on such an elevated platform that you're qualified. So we have at least one qualified person. I'm encouraged by that. Huh? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke many times about this fault of thinking ourselves to be the seer. And this is Indra's fault. Indra decided, I can see, I know Krishna, I know God, and this little boy, he's definitely not God. And because of that, he became drishta. He became so bold that he sent the Samvartic cloud, which is much, much worse than dropping an atom bomb. He sent the Samvartic cloud. That Samvartic cloud is the cloud of destruction, which destroys the universe. And he sent that to destroy, to kill all the bridge bossies. It's the most heinous crime we've ever heard of in the history of the universe. That's drishta. He's a very, very bold person. And Udanda. Udanda has several meanings. Udanda also means pride. Udanda means a stick. And ud means up. So someone who's holding a stick up in the air is advertising themselves. And they're saying, I'm a very important person. So in that sense, it's a synonym of pride. And Raghunath Das Goswami is describing this about Indra, that he has this problem of Udanda. I'm a very big, big person. You should give respect to me. And Udanda also means raised weapon. So Indra's coming with his thunderbolt weapon and throwing it at Giriraj and throwing it at the bridge bossies. Such a proud person, such a drishta person. But he's being defeated. Pratihata. Krishna's defeating him. Krishna's taking away the pride of Indra by a mountain. By something which is seemingly a non-moving living entity. Someone who, an unconscious living, unconscious inert matter. He's being defeated by that. You're the big king of the demigods, but you're being defeated by an ordinary mountain. And also, Pratihata, Giriraj is checking the pride of Indra because you may know from ancient history that there used to be a big problem. Mountains had wings. And it was a big problem because you might be sitting in an assembly like this and there's a flying mountain that decides to land right here. And then there's a big squish and we're all finished. So it was a big problem in the universe. And they called for Indra and Indra came and he cut the wings off of all the mountains. So we're very fortunate today. Mountains don't fly anymore. But this mountain began to fly. And Indra, he'd sent some of his wind spies and different spies to see what had happened after he sent the Samvartic cloud. And they came back and they said, well, you know, Giriraj, you cut his wings off a long time ago, but he's flying again. We don't understand how. And Indra could later understand, that Giriraj, he's getting revenge on behalf of all the mountains. I cut off their wings, and now he's defeating me. He's defeating my pride. So in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami is showing us the outside of the cave on Govardhan Hill. If we want to enter into these deep aspirations expressed in these 10 verses, first of all, you have to go through the entrance of the cave. If you don't go through the entrance, you can't go to the inner part, the inner chambers. So the outward part is we have to give up this pride. And Srila Prabhupada, as I mentioned, spoke about this on a number of occasions. Pride is a very great obstacle in bhakti. Sridhar Swami, in his Bhavartha Deepika commentary, he writes in a purport in 11th canto, chapter 28, he says that someone can overcome lust by meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you overcome pride, hypocrisy, and other types of mental imbalances by following in the footsteps of great transcendentalists. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami, he describes three sources of pride, or three causes of humility, we should say. Dukkha trasa parada dhyar anurajitam tadinata. There are three causes of humility. And if we analyze this verse and this pastime of Indra, we can see that all three of these causes of humility came about for Indra. So the first is dukkha, or sorrow. And Indra became very, very unhappy. He's the king of the demigods. He's married to the most beautiful girl of all the demigods, Sachi Devi. He has the most power. He can defeat all the demons. He's a very handsome person. He's got so much opulence like you can't even imagine. But he's defeated by a hill, by a mountain. It was a great blow to his pride, and he became very sad by that. Dukkha. Similarly, if we become sad, sometimes there's some source of unhappiness in our life. Oftentimes, being the when our pride is checked, then we develop sadness, and that sadness is a good thing. We can embrace it. Rupa Goswami indirectly is implying that this is our friend. We have three friends, dukkha, trasa, and aparad. Unhappiness, fear, and the sense of having committed some offense. These three things can be our friends because anurjitam tadinata, they help one to develop humility. And without that humility, we can't really approach Giriraj Govardhan. So the first thing is dukkha. The second thing is trasa. Trasa means fear. When Indra understood what had happened, he became a little afraid. Oh, I committed a very, very big offense. And he came to Krishna, I'm going to get chastised like anything now. And so what he did, he's a very intelligent person, actually. He put the Surabhi cow in front of him. Just like there's a story in Jagannath Puri that once Yamaraj was very unhappy because Jagannath Puri, one of the names of Puri is Yamanaika Ketra, or the place where Yamaraj has no business. And he came there trying to take someone, and he said, hey, you can't do this. So he became upset, and he went to complain to his boss, Jagannath. So you might get a little nervous if you have to talk to Yamaraj, and he's in an angry mood. So Jagannath is very intelligent. He sent his wife, Lakshmi Devi. You talk to him. Because he put his wife in front, and Yamaraj won't get angry with her. So Indra did a similar thing when he came to see Krishna after he'd sent the Samvartic cloud and he was defeated. He sent the Surabhi cow. And because he was afraid. Dukkha trasa. And the third thing was the sense of having committed some offense. Indra understood, I've committed a terrible offense. These three things help to crush his pride. Raghunath Das Goswami, in the seventh verse of his Manasiksha, he describes to us this drishta, this boldness, this nature of pride, and how to curb that. Patista sa drishta sa pacharamani me radina tet katam sadhu prema spisati suchir etan tanunana. Sada tvam sevasva prabhudaita samantamatulam yatatam niskasya tvaritam ihatam veshayati saha. This pratista, this position, having a big, big position, don't you know who I am? I'm the best book distributor. I'm the temple commander. I'm in charge of cleaning the toilets. You should give respect to me for some reason. This pratista makes someone, or this pratista asa, he says, this desire for pratista even, this desire to have this position, it makes someone drishta, or impudent, and very bold. It makes someone very, very proud. And he says, it's swapacha ramani me ridinaitet. It's like a woman who's an untouchable woman, who's fond of eating dog meat, who's like a prostitute dancing in your heart and advertising to everybody what a great personality I am. And then he says, katam sadhu prema. If you have this woman dancing in your heart, then sadhu prema riddhi. How are you going to get Krishna prema, this sadhu prema, this very first class prema? How are you going to get this in your heart? And he gives us a very nice instruction. Sadatvam sevasva prabhu dahita samantam atulam. You have to worship those persons who prabhu dahita samantam, who are prabhu dahita, who are very dear to Krishna, and are samantam, who are great generals, great leaders of Krishna's devotees. And by serving those devotees, then our pride becomes crushed. And so in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami is instructing us also that if we want to worship Krishna, if we want Krishna's mercy, if we want the mood that Giriraj Govardhan has, then we should worship him as a devotee. Then we should worship the devotees, not just Giriraj, but we should please Giriraj by pleasing the devotees that Giriraj is serving. Giriraj Govardhan really means community. It means worshiping the devotees. And that worship of the devotees, Krishna says emphatically again and again, Mad Bhakta Puja Bhyadika, he tells Uddhava, worship of my devotee is better than worship of me. Again and again, throughout Vedic literatures, Krishna describes this point, that worshiping the devotee is better than worship of him. So, Raghunath Das Goswami is worshipping Giriraj as a devotee. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu, he says, Amara Bhakta Puja, Ama Hoite Bhara, Se Prabhu Vede Bhagavate Koilav Dhara. That again and again in the Vedas, it's described that worship of my devotees is better than direct worship of me. So this is a lesson. This is the entrance to the cave of Raghunath Das Goswami's heart. In the form of these 10 prayers, we have to go through this entrance of giving up pride. And the way to do that is by worshiping the devotees, by taking shelter of them. And indirectly, it indicates also by accepting the chastisement of those devotees. Not just that we want their flattery. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says in one lecture, he said that if the sadhu flatters me, then I'll be cheated. But if he chastises me and speaks very harsh words, then those bad things in my heart will go away. So we'll stop there. If anybody has any questions or comments, you can come to me afterwards. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki, Bolo Giriraj Maharaja ke, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo. Ranchakalpadrubhischa kripasindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah.